American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town, like a cancer that's silently spreading. There's an unspoken fear we're on our way down. We must take America back.
Welcome back to the top of the second hour of National Intel Report, live on Republic Broadcasting Network, Liberty Lighthouse on Mojo 50 Radio, Patriot Nation Radio Network, and anywhere else you see or hear the program. I forgot to do one of them their sponsor ads in the last segment, so I'm just going to ask you to go support me by going to my website, liberty-lighthouse.com. Right at the top of the homepage, there's a big blue button that says win a book. You might win my newest book, A More Tyrannical King, How the Federal Government Became More Oppressive Than King George, or maybe one of my other books. But click the button. I give away a book or two or five, not once a month. liberty-lighthouse.com, win a book link. See if you can't win a book. We're talking with Dr. Jen Vandewater, and right before the commercial break, I was going to say it's kind of a chicken or the egg thing. There's so many things in society in the last 60 or 80 years that are just bad for our health, and they all started at roughly the same time. And that happens to be right after World War II. See, war is an innovator, and with all of the everything that went on for World War II, we realized, hey, plastic is insanely useful. And we started using plastic for everything. And I mean everything. And then we also realized corn makes cheap sugar. And cheap sugar can be used as a preservative. It can be used so that your frozen TV dinner browns up right in the microwave or the oven. It can be used as a flavor enhancer, because who doesn't like something sweet every now and then? And we drastically increase the amount of sugar in our diets. If you go now and you look at processed meals, packaged meals, even things that you wouldn't think had sugar in them have a lot of sugar in them. And then also, right about that same time, we started vaccinating everybody and everyone and their child against everything, to the point now that we give 4D vaccines to people before they graduate high school. All of these things started at the same time, and all of them are very bad for us. How do we fix that?
I have a solution, probably. I mean, I really think it comes back to paying attention to our bodies, not listening to outside. We're going to have to do a little of our own research, our own due diligence. We can't be just lining up for everything that we're told to do. I believe that there's possibility and hope if we bring it back to the community level. So we've become federal governments, the answer to everything. Then the state governments, the answer to everything. And even for myself, being on a town board, we look to others for the answers. Well, why don't we look within our own community? And so it's even the same way with, you know, bartering. You know, I have a friend that brings me raw milk and she gets eggs. So there's the exchange, right? And you're eating healthy and you're making better choices. Order your beef and your meat from a local farmer. Go to farmers markets for produce. There's plenty that is there. I have walked around farmers markets and they have tons of options for places you can go. You can get a little bit of potatoes from one, some radishes from another, something. Spread it out. I think we need to take back what was taken from us in those years and not listen to anything with a .gov. I mean, really? Just walk away.
I love that.
Right? That's all bad. It's all bad. They're not looking out for us. And you mentioned World War II, and it brought me back to Operation Paperclip. Another program, too, where they're bringing people back into the U.S. to do things to destroy and hurt us and harm us. And I don't know what happened in the psyche of our ancestors at that time to make them believe in that, because years ago it wasn't. When our founding fathers came here to this country, that's exactly what they were escaping. They wanted freedom. It wasn't just, you know, we were taught in school, it was just, oh, they wanted freedom of religion. It wasn't freedom of religion they were coming for. They were coming from freedom from tyranny.
In all honesty, they talk about the pilgrims having come here for freedom of religion. They had freedom of religion. The pilgrims that came to the United States were coming from Netherlands, and they had achieved freedom of religion 40 years before they came to America. They came to America to spread the Christian gospel to the savages of North America. But you said, don't listen to anything with a .gov, which I find hilarious, because one of my favorite things is, I believe that the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution should have stopped with Congress shall make no law, period.
Yeah, period. That's it. Yeah. Yep.
But we've got a bunch of interesting comments going on over here in the video chat room. Very active video chat room tonight. I appreciate that for all of you. Thank you very much. Deb was talking about the hormones and the pesticides on store-bought foods. I mean, hormones in the meats, livestock, and pesticides on your produce. Mary says it's bad for your health, but it's good for the bottom line of the big pharma companies. And then I had the thought of something that I think you'd appreciate. Is just last week. All right, I got to back up. Turn this into a little bit of a story. So there's this farm. It's called Way Fruit Farm. It's about a half an hour drive from me, but it is a wonderful place. It's an apple orchard, or at least it started as an apple orchard, and they do the best apple cider I've ever had anywhere. But they also sell pork from a local pig farmer, you know, local honey, and all of this local, you know, local everything. I mean, anything that's made by a company in the county, they sell it at this one place. And it's great, but it's a half an hour away. And I really, you know, I drive 5 hours a day for my job. I don't want to drive an hour back, you know, there and back to go buy some stuff. So we don't go very often. Now, we did find a company that delivers fresh milk. Appreciate that. We like that. Just recently, found a smaller version of that Wayfruit Farm, and I'm going to give it a shout out here. It's called Hilltop Farm on Jacksonville Road in Bellefonte, Pennsylvania. Hilltop Farm is Mennonite run. For those of you that don't know, I refer to the Mennonites as Amish light. They're not quite Amish, but they're still not part of our society. They have a deli. They butcher their own meat. They had some of the biggest, thickest, most delicious looking T-bone steaks I've ever seen just laying in a cooler, you know. They had apple cider. They had fresh milk, fresh eggs, fresh baked goods, all of this stuff that's all homemade and all fresh, local, all in one place. Love it. On Fridays and Saturdays is the only two days of the week where they have fresh baked goods. So it is now on our calendar to every Friday, which is my day off of work, to drive out to Hilltop Farm and do the first round of grocery shopping before we have to go someplace else, is to go to this Mennonite farm.
That's amazing.
And Debbie says that she would drive at least once a week there too.
Yeah, great. Yeah, that's the way to do it. And like, you're right, go there before. So if there's something that you couldn't get and then you have to get at the store, but that's how you avoid your pesticides and your hormone foods and stuff, is when you go local. And we have Mennonites and we have Amish. We have both here as well. And their gardens are phenomenal. I mean, just absolutely driving by and seeing them, I'm just like, how do they? But they have like 100 people that work on that farm. Mm-hmm. So that's probably why. We're just two people here. So right. It's a lot harder.
Families there. You'll see little kids out pulling weeds in gardens and stuff. Like, they have
to work, which is which is great. And again, let's go back when the government got involved in child labor. There's a difference between raising up your children to understand work ethic and self-sustaining, self-sufficiency, getting out there and doing things yourself. There's a pride that comes from it. Kids today, their parents do everything for them and they're spoiled because they're not learning and understanding work ethic or how to take care of themselves or what it's going to be like out there in the real world. So it's completely different from even when I grew up, and that was not that long ago. I had chores. I had things I had to do. And if I didn't get it done, it wouldn't have been good.
Yeah, well, and there is an exception in the child labor laws. I mean, you can have kids working in, like, you know, the local pizza shop or whatever. The child labor laws were supposed to stop you from sending your kid off to work in a sweatshop.
Correct.
But just like everything the government gets involved in, it gets taken too far.
Mm-hmm.
These Amish kids, these Mennonite kids that are out there in the fields from the time they can walk are some of the best behaved, healthiest kids you're ever going to see anywhere.
Right? Exactly. They don't give them injections. They don't follow by the same rules we do. So that's why they're very healthy. They drink the raw milk. They eat the good food. They're out there playing in the dirt, barefoot. I mean, you're going to expect to see them to be healthy. For sure. I mean, I actually have Amish neighbors. The buggies go by my house all the time. They just bought land right next to me too. So they're just down the road a little bit. And then they just bought the land next to me, which I'm super excited. Can't wait till they actually move in. Cause I want to go and I want to become friends with these people. Actually, I'd be like, I love it. I'd be like, can I just join you guys? Cause you guys are amazing.
But you know what that means? That means whenever, if and when you're ever willing and ready to sell your house, they'll buy it.
If they own land
on either side, they'll buy yours.
Mm-hmm. It's a really cool. I'll tell my husband after the show. He's going to be happy to hear that.
And they'll pay fair market for it too. They won't undersell you.
And they pay cash.
And they pay cash, right?
They pay cash. Yeah, they do. Yeah, they're great. I would love to see them get involved in a little bit with the town because there's plenty of families around here. They don't get involved in stuff, but I'll tell you, I love it because we're having some stuff go on with comprehensive plans that the state is pushing onto every town. And I'm pushing back because they want to bring in the smart. It's not smart. It's surveillance and it's monitoring. And so I don't want that here. And we are free of zoning here in my town. And I want to keep it that way.
Yeah. You definitely want to keep that.
Yeah. So I would love for them to get involved because they are agricultural lovers and they want to keep, but they don't. Yeah, they don't.
Mm-hmm. And they can't.
Right.
If they start getting involved, then they're going to start getting treated like citizens. And
they're sovereign. They don't even have any of the papers we do. They're sovereign. They're a sovereign entity. Yeah, I know. I'm a bit jealous, but I am learning from them. I watch and pay attention and I could not go. Like, they actually have lanterns in their house. Like, you can see their lanterns on their wall. So they don't have electricity. They have a well. They got a pump. They don't have running water. I could not do that. I actually have become accustomed to the electricity and the comforts of modern life. But I do love that they're free spirit and that they're connected to the earth and they're connected to themselves and they're connected to God. You know, they have their Sunday services that they go to each different house and they go each Sunday. So...
Mm-hmm. Yep, they don't have a church. They take turns and host it in each other's houses. And they are not quite as disconnected as they used to be. I mean, they go to Walmart now and
they do
and buy things that they used to make for themselves. But they do a pretty good job of staying out. And there's an interesting story I want you to look up. I don't know all the details, but there was something tragic that happened in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And the power was out in the whole city. I don't remember if it was a blizzard or hurricane or what, but something knocked out the power for the whole city. And of course, if you lose power in an entire city, you lose running water.
Mm-hmm.
The Amish of Lancaster basically saved the hospital. They were pumping water and taking it to the hospital. It was just it's a heartwarming story. You should look it up. I don't just Lancaster Amish providing water for a hospital. I don't remember when it was. I don't remember anything about it. I just remember it was, it was, yeah. And Donald over in the chat room says, can't they use solar or wind? They do not use electricity at all. They will use a wind powered well, for example. You'll see a windmill that pumps a well and they'll get that close to running water. They will also, there's something about gasoline engines too. They'll use like single stroke engines, but not four stroke engines or something. Cause I've seen them using a hay baler. That's the old fashioned ka-thunk, ka-thunk, ka-thunk engines, but you'll never, you don't see them with a, you know, big tractor.
They do use a gas, sawmill. So they cut lumber and they use a sawmill that's gas powered. Or diesel. Sorry, my husband yelled from the room. Diesel. Sorry, diesel. I'll get it right. Get it right. Sorry. Yeah, but they do. So they have some equipment, but everything else they do, they're walking behind the horses, and
they don't even ride bicycles. They have they have like big wheel scooters that they
and like little wagons. Is that it's really, it is nice, and I don't know. I think there's something about it that you just, I don't know. We've lost connection with that, and that's what the solution is to everything you're saying when it regard to pharmaceuticals, regarding the corn and the sugar and everything that's happened. We need to go back. We need to go back and not really start over, but just pay attention. I mean, I have never become someone that reads labels so much, and my husband does the shopping and he'll come home with stuff and I'm like, I don't know if I want to eat that. Sometimes I do. And actually, I won a basket at a Republican community dinner last weekend, and they had a bag of turtle candies in there. And I was so excited, and I was eating the whole bag. When the bag was gone, I decided to read the label. I could not believe. Well, I was like, you know what? My husband's like, I'll buy you some if you really like them. I said, yeah. And then after I read the label, I looked and said, don't buy these. I said, it says made with bioengineered something or other. And I was like, oh, I can't, I ate the whole bag. So yeah. So I start to read labels and pay attention to what I'm putting in my body, because that's how you're going to get healthy again.
All right. Well, I forgot how we got there. So off track with the Amish, but to bring it back to the whole pharmaceutical thing, you know, I don't remember hearing about horrible COVID outbreaks in any of the Amish communities.
No, they don't have televisions to tell them that COVID's there.
That is exactly right.
Yep. They probably have all the natural treatments. They probably harvest and make oil of oregano. They probably have everything they need right there. So when someone's not feeling well, they just naturally take it. They probably live on honey. Honey is very good. Garlic. I mean, they probably have everything on hand that they need to protect themselves if they feel ill. And then they see us and they just laugh. They must laugh. They must find us amusing. Right? They've got to.
We English.
Yeah.
But that's exactly what it was. Because honestly, if you hadn't paid attention to the news, if you didn't hear every day COVID-19, COVID-19, COVID-19 in your ear, honestly, it would have been like, oh, it was, maybe it was a bad flu year. Like, worst case scenario, it would have been a bad flu year.
And the flu went away.
Right. There was zero.
COVID showed up and the flu went away. It's like, yeah. Something's not adding up here, people.
Not at all. But yeah. Oh, we got Tom in Utah on line one, and apparently Tom is a vegetarian.
Ooh.
Worse than that.
Oh, please don't say vegan.
I am a humanitarian.
Okay.
Oh. You know that I'm vegan. In fact, I was involved with the conference where we chose that word to be used to identify us or designate the difference between a compromising vegetarian and a strict vegetarian. But anyway, reason I called in is I was asked by the Amish people in Indiana and also in Pennsylvania. They had an outbreak of RSV that was taking out infants. And they were a little unhappy with what I was telling them. You know, the RSV, if you take it, you understand the whole organism, it's called bovine respiratory syncytial virus. So the women were very happy with me, but the men were a little bit distressed. But in fact, they are healthier people, like you pointed out, because they don't do the drugs. They live very close to nature. And one thing I want to kind of readjust you on the sugar thing. When in our design, if we're living in the garden like we were told to do, there's sugar in everything that you eat. In fact, it's part of the necessary component of anything that your body is supposed to have.
Right. I should have said processed sugar. I should have specified the refined processed sugar.
Well, even that is not as evil as you think, because the body requires the CHO compounds to even survive. So when you're eating a food like an egg has no sugar, a glass of milk has no usable sugar, a piece of flesh has no sugar, yet sugar is the required energy source to even digest that material. So when you're eating something with no sugar at all, then your body says, give me the sugar, dang it. I was going to say the other word, but...
I think it is the source. Because you can eat fruits and get the sugars your body needs, which is like electrolytes from the fruits and some vegetables as well that you eat. You'll get some sugars from those.
Well, see, even in the vegetables... It may not be the fructose or sucrose or the dextrose. It'll be the starch, which is still the same stuff, just that your liver does have to crack it. But it's still there with everything you eat from the garden. There is nothing that does not contain a carbohydrate or sugar, even lettuce. See, so in the wisdom of your creator, he put the sugar, the fuel required by your body, to even digest or obtain that nutrient right in the package. But when you go into the animal foods, the animal has already spent that energy, and the only carbohydrate you obtain from animal food is the dense, high molecular weight fats.
And the body is not...
Say that again?
But it's so yummy.
Well, you know, I hate to say this, but I say... Have you ever seen a child refuse a good booger? Yeah, so just because something tastes good does not necessarily mean it is good.
I've definitely seen that.
I will just tell you that, like I say, the women, the mothers in the Amish families or communities, they were happy to find out why their babies were suffering and dying. Of course, the men were unhappy because that was their product. And, you know, I just said, well, it's not the people that are wrong. It's the product that's wrong. So it is.
So what was the answer?
Say that again.
What was the answer? What was the treatment? What did they have to do?
Well, don't give your baby or a nursing mother milk from a cow that is the source of the mycoplasma. That's the viruses are a joke. They're the debris after the accident. They're not the cause of the accident.
I've heard that theory, yeah.
And it's not theory, it's fact.
I don't know enough about it either way, so I call both of them theories. Virus caused it, or the virus is the aftereffect. Either way, they're both theories to me because I don't know.
Yeah, Pat from Texas and I have had some fun times. She worked in the labs, and of course, I spent the first 30 years of my professional life on the AMA side. And then when I hit the steel table myself in 91, I had to say, reviewed my own science and realized that I was out of step, and I did a 180-degree turn. And when you do that, your fellowship doesn't like you anymore.
No. Thanks for your call, Tom. It's commercial
break. Thank you, Tom.
Be back in 3 minutes.
homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email proudsouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Mike, you make me laugh. Thank you very much. Welcome back to the final segment of tonight's show. We're talking with Dr. Jen Vandewater. And during the commercial break there, we were just discussing, we went back to the Amish. And now the Amish, well, they weren't told to be afraid of COVID because they don't have televisions. And, well, they're not told to be afraid of the seasonal flu or anything else because, again, they don't have televisions. They aren't being programmed by the programming.
Oh, okay. I was wondering. Well, we lost Peter. Just keep it going. We're back.
I don't know what happened.
You froze.
Yeah, and you're still frozen. You're not moving.
Oh, no.
I'm not sure if Mike can hear me or not, but oh, there it goes. I don't know what happened. I looked down at my little internet connection, and it was flashing, and then it wasn't.
So I just completely lost internet.
It happens. Not to the Amish, yeah. Just to us.
That's absolutely right. So we were talking, the Amish, you know, they don't have televisions, so they're not told what to be afraid of and what opinions to have and all of that by you know, the powers that be. They're not programmed by the mainstream media. But they have books. Books that require them to, you know, sit down and read. And they read stories to their families. And, well, anyway, during the break, I reached up and I grabbed this antique book that I have. That's one of the Washington Irving's collective works. It's a part of a bigger collection that I have. It was printed in the 1860s or something like that. And it was really expensive back then. A collection of books like that was somebody's entire entertainment library. And unless you were wealthy, you really only had like one set of books. And now we have every bit of information we could possibly want handed to us on a screen that's in our pocket.
Happen.
Yeah, he's back. I don't know. So I had internet problems, and then he had internet problems, and apparently because I had internet problems, your picture is frozen, and I keep trying to turn you off and turn you back on and think maybe that might get you moving again, but it doesn't matter.
Hey, I think, he said his fault.
Oh, that wasn't his fault. It's never Mike's fault. Mike is the best producer I could ever ask for. It is always my fault. And I will always take the blame. All right. So television, social media, entertainment, technology. It's the mind virus that's killing everything.
It is. And you know what's happening too is everyone is looking to others for a source. Like, I understand I have my training and my area of expertise, but the number one thing I want to do for people is to empower them to critically think and make choices for themselves, because we've lost that skill. Now, I don't know, it must be something I'm getting from up above, because I don't know where it comes from in me, but I do not want to have someone say, well, what do you say, Dr. J? I want to do what you say. No, I want people to make their own choices and understand their own bodies, know their health, and then make the best decision for them and their families. And that's what's really important. We've lost that in every aspect of our society, whether it's in the school system for public education, because now the teacher knows everything. The teacher knows how to raise your child and teach your child, and you now no longer have any parental rights as a parent. It's going to be whatever the teacher says goes. It's even happened in our churches. It's happened in politics, and it's happening in health. And so what a good leader actually embodies is to be a guide. You're supposed to help guide someone to sources, to information, to research, so they can then look through it themselves, become educated, knowledge is power, and then from there make the decisions that are best for them. But what the dark entities, those secret societies, figured out so long ago when they sat there scheming about the corn, sugar, and pharmaceuticals, was that we're going to tell them what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. And that's what we, as want to say, being sovereign, being free, like the Amish, is they don't abide by that. And they don't abide by any of the town rules. They do pay a very small tax. They don't abide by anything. Their kids don't have to go to public school. They have freedom because they've never surrendered over to believing and thinking as the bigs have kind of told them to do it. So that's really, I feel that's number one. People need to be empowered in themselves, take ownership. Don't worry about what's going on talk to God, get your information downloaded to you, and walk in that boldly. And you know, you can have a much better life than listening to all the all the outside sources that are out there.
I agree. You know, the best leaders do, and it's not to sit there and tell you what to do. What we have now in our government is a bunch of people that tell us, well, you're going to do this, and you're going to do this, and you're going to do this, even though they don't do it themselves.
Correct.
You know, I got more. You know, I used to be a restaurant manager for quite a long time. I was a restaurant manager. I got the most respect from my staff when they would see me take off my suit jacket and roll up my sleeves and start climbing inside the broken dishwasher to fix it.
Yep.
As a manager or a leader or whatever, you have to do something. You can't just tell other people what to do. And that's what's happened to our government. Is our government, they're all full-time employees now. They're not amongst us. They're not part of our community. They're not farmers and business owners and, you know, retailers or whatever. They don't go back home to their districts to stay connected to the people of their neighborhood.
No, they all have private jets.
Yeah. They all get rich off of their connections and ignore us, we the people that they're supposed to represent, because now it's just a job. It's not a representative democracy anymore. It's not a republic anymore. It's a ruling class and we the people. We need to get back to the limited government, limited to the 17 things listed in Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution, and that's it. And healthcare isn't one of them. Education isn't one of them.
Yeah.
But the Amish are such a great example. They're some of the healthiest people I don't think I've ever seen an overweight Amish person.
No, someone did put a comment talking about they hadn't seen, it was Deb. She hadn't seen obese people when she was little, a kid in the 70s. It's true. We've changed in shape. Like really, we're not no longer a population of, you know, human stature. We've changed. So,
I mean, it used to be that you rarely saw an overweight child.
Yeah.
Because kids were out running and playing and everything. Now, most kids are obese.
Yes.
And, you know, I'm 6'2", 220-ish pounds. By the, you know, BMI charts and everything at the doctor's office, I'm obese. I don't look obese. I don't think so. Anyway, I got a little bit of a belly. I'm 50 years old. Of course I have a little bit of a belly. Deb, I nailed it. What'd I nail? What Deb say over here? You nailed it, Peter. They have a cush job that we the people are paying for. That's right.
Mm-hmm. We got to get back to the Constitution too, because they are taxing everything. Everything is taxed and double taxed and triple taxed. And so that's where they're getting all their money from. And then we the people are here going, well, what the heck? And then again, like, makes you question. With the Amish, they're not, everything they sell and do, it's all their own. They don't have to pay into the government for anything. I don't believe they even pay school tax. They pay a small ag tax to the town, and that's all they pay. They get to keep everything that they sell is theirs. For us as a U.S. citizen, we've got to pay.
Right.
We got to pay.
I've talked about that on the show many times. Like, if you add up all the taxes that we pay, and I consider any money that goes to the government a tax, whether it's correct. A registration fee or a licensing fee or a whatever. If it goes to the government, it's tax. I tried to figure it out once. And when I was writing my first book, and I paid attention to every penny I spent. And this part of it, you just can't figure it out. I got over 40% of my income that I could calculate I could track myself. But then you got to the umpteen layers of corporate income tax that's layered into everything that you buy. And there's no way of calculating that. So I figure 50% of your income, at least 50% of your income, is going to the federal government, and they're spending that, and they're sending it overseas, and then they're spending 50% more.
Yeah.
For the last couple of years, you know, the government brings in $4 trillion and spends $6. That's a 50% overage. That means whenever these guys get there and they start talking budgeting and they're like, oh, well, we're going to cut spending by 3%. 30. You need to cut it by a third at least just to get to a break-even point. And with interest rates going up, what our federal government is paying on interest on our debt now exceeds what we spend on military spending with the interest rates being up around 8%. That's insane.
Mm-hmm. Well, it kind of goes back to, like, if you have a child and they didn't earn the money, you just gave them money, they're going to disrespect. It's the same with our government. They don't value us. They don't care. They're just going to keep cracking the whip and telling us to get back out there and make more so they can take more and still not have it accurate. So it's, yeah. And I agree with you. Everything you pay to the government is a tax if you are registering, which, again, we don't even have to do that. We are not doing commerce in our cars. We're traveling. You don't have to legally, but how do you defend that when you don't know the right language? But I know that there's truth to it. So, you know, they're having you pay. Yeah.
But even that, you and I know, because we have common sense and we can read the interstate commerce clause of the Constitution and understand, mm-hmm. we know what commerce means and we know what interstate means, which means a product being sold across state lines. To 99% of the population, interstate commerce means products, goods or services being sold across state lines. But to our federal government and to our Supreme Court, interstate commerce means any activity or inactivity that affects goods or services that might cross state lines. And that goes back to Willard v. Filburn in 1942, I think, when Filburn was told he was being a bad boy and had broken the Agriculture Adjustment Act by growing too much wheat, even though he wasn't selling it. He was buying, he was growing it and keeping it for himself. But because he grew it and kept it for himself, he didn't buy as much as he should have, according to the government. And therefore, he was affecting the interstate market. Now, how much of a leap is it for that court case of 1942 that still has never been overturned to somebody in the government saying, you know what, you're not allowed to have a garden anymore. Nobody in the United States is allowed to have a vegetable garden because, well, the industrial farmers aren't making enough money and you have to go to the grocery store and you have to buy produce that came across state lines because we're not getting enough taxes. Or whatever their excuse, they don't even need one.
They don't even need one, yeah. They are trying it, I believe, up in Maine. I believe Maine, they were saying no more gardens. I remember being there a couple of years ago at an event, and the people of Maine were talking about that, and I was like, wait, no gardens? And they said, yeah, and neighbors were reporting people for growing gardens. I was like, wow. So if we don't, as a people, as a nation, start to pay attention, you know, show up at your town board meetings, show up at your planning board meetings, make sure you know what's going on in your town, whether you're, and I know we talked about whether you're in an area that's more blue or you're in more red, it's important to show up because at those meetings, things get discussed and then you can know what's going on and then your voice can be heard and you don't know because someone like me sits there, I'm outnumbered right now. I'm starting to make allies, but I came into this very aware And the people around me were asleep. They were thinking it goes federal, state, and then local. And I'm like, it goes local. Local has the power. And then the rest fall. And they're just starting to kind of realize that now. And it's been 2 years. So it's really important, though, for someone like me, you might have someone in your town, go and support them. Let them know you're there for them. Because it's a lonely spot to be when you're the only voice trying to make a difference. And you need the support from the people of your town to show up and be there. So that's really where it's going to come, because once the local people realize it is the local, and you can push out the county and you can push out the state and push out the feds, that's what needs to be done. I have my town supervisor really close to being convinced of making us a constitutional town. I'm working on him still. I know, I'm super excited. He's very aware. So I am really working on him, and he's going to start talking to some people because he's heard of it happening. I know there is a town in Maine that did it, and there's a county in New York, out in Western New York, probably on the Pennsylvania border. They became a constitutional county. So trying, working to get it done.
Referring to constitutional carry.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that would be great. Yeah. So we're I'm working on it, you know, but we need people to get up and get out there.
You need to get them to think about, what was it? The Kentucky resolution, the Virginia resolution and the Kentucky resolution, I think. The Alien and Sedition Acts, 1789, Alien and Sedition Acts passed. I think it was the Virginia resolution and the Kentucky resolution. I know Kentucky was one of them, but I'm not 100% sure about Virginia. Two states said, you know what? That's unconstitutional. We're not going to enforce that here. And we're not going to let you enforce it here either. And
nice.
You need to, that was like the very first case well documented of states standing up and saying, you know, no, we're the ones in control, not you, the federals. And get them to look into that. Alien and Sedition Acts, John Adams, 1789. And then the states that stood against him. That should give him some, I can do it.
I can do it. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I've been working on it for 2 years, very strategic to get him to see a little bit and not be so pushy, because I can kind of come in as a firecracker. So I tried to really, I know. So I tried really hard to hold my tongue and become friends and make them realize I'm an ally. I'm not here to disrupt them. I'm actually trying to make things better. So that's really what people can do, is, you know, get in and get out there and talk to your people in your town and find ways to support each other in a community and push out these bigs. We got to do it. And it's going to happen through us. It's not going to be someone coming in and rescuing us. It's going to be us doing it for ourselves.
Government is like somebody who misspends on a credit card. The town right next door to me, apparently nobody goes to their council meetings or borough meetings. Yeah, it's a borough. All of a sudden, they had this beautiful tree-lined street that's like the main street heading into town. And it was trees on both sides of the street. And it was beautiful. And then all of a sudden, the borough just started cutting them all down. And in like 3 days, they're all gone. Well, they had a borough meeting just a day or two ago, and apparently it almost came to like fist fights.
Wow.
While it was in the process. And it's like, well, you know, I'm pretty sure they had a meeting about that. Like, they had to have. Mm-hmm. They couldn't have just said, man, let's cut all the trees down. You know, it's not like the public works guy just got a burr up his butt and did it himself. There was a meeting, but because nobody goes to those meetings, you don't see it. You don't know about it.
Yeah, that's usually how it happens. It's after it's done. And then everybody, we have people say that people go to the local like coffee, you know, shop downtown. And when they go get their coffee and they sit there and complain about it, but then nobody was at the meeting to say anything to guide the representatives to make the decision. If they know that the town, the borough, anywhere, the village wants something, they're going to have to act accordingly, because they don't want people mad. You want to have people happy. And so same thing, we had some of the same stuff. It wasn't trees cut down, but it was a campground that came in on the river. And, we had everybody show up all mad at us. And we had, actually, it wasn't the town board, it was a planning board. Boy, they came into us and ripped us to shreds. And we're like, we had nothing to do with it. It wasn't us. So it got, they got approved for the campground. So, but you're right. They show up afterwards.
Well, I've got a little project going on in my own little borough here. And I'm going to ask you, since you are a council person, like, am I doing this the right way? So I've started a petition to have an off-leash dog park created in my little town. And I did a change.org petition, and I got over 500 signatures, and I gathered signatures in person around town. And I put up a website, I put up a Facebook page, and all these things. It's all BelfontDogPark.com, you know, Facebook/BelfontDogPark, whatever. I emailed all of the members of my borough council, the borough manager and the assistant borough manager, on, say, Monday, requesting to be added to the following Monday's agenda to present this petition. Now, I happen to know that certain members of council, they have an agenda meeting on Thursday. So I sent my communication early enough that they would all have it before their Thursday agenda meeting. On Wednesday, the day before the agenda meeting, I got an email from the borough manager saying, yeah, you're not going to be on the agenda, but we'll add this as communications received, and we'll hopefully be able to schedule it in the future, blah, blah, blah. So me knowing that their agenda meeting is on Thursday and receiving that email on Wednesday, I got a wild hair in my butt.
Mm-hmm.
So I showed up and during public comments presented my petition anyway and handed it to them. And it got covered in the newspapers.
Oh.
So thus far, am I doing it right?
Yes. Well, we don't have as much, we don't have a lot of meetings. Like, we have once a month meeting. And then when it gets to this time of year, we have a few extra for the town budget meeting. But for the most part, we just meet once a month. But it's the same thing. You reach out to the town clerk and say, I want to get on the, you know, be on the agenda. So you can get on the agenda. Or like you say, if you miss the agenda, you can just show up for public comments. And then when the public's there, you can say what you want to do. And we have reporters. Our little town newspaper sends their reporter in. It's the local town newspaper. And she's there. She'll take notes, and it will get printed as well in the paper. So it's exactly, yep, doing it right. They should have put you on the agenda. You gave them plenty of notice. We have no problem. Some people come in the day before, and they get put on the agenda. But I don't know. We're very rural. We have like 1,600 parcels. So we are not, there's not a lot going on. We don't have big business. We have a few restaurants. We have an auction barn for beef and, you know, a few food trucks that sit there at the auction barn. And we really don't have a lot. We're very, very rural. So it can, we can fit things in pretty good. But yeah, you did it right. And that's great. Public comment. Yep. Show up anyway. Didn't say, oh, I'm not going to go because I didn't get on the agenda. You did the right thing. You did what you're supposed to do.
My plan is, they have two meetings a month. My plan is to show up, and if I'm not on the agenda, then I will show up and I will give updates every 2 weeks.
Public, yep, every public comment, you still say your piece. Yep.
I'll tell them how many more signatures I've gathered. I'll tell them what organizations are supporting the movement. I'll start telling them, you know, hey, it's odd that you have yet to put me on the agenda when I've got over 600 signatures now, or whatever. Mm-hmm.
And what's the, it's a dog park where they're not on a leash. I'm sure you're going to have it fenced in so that the dogs can run free and not get hit.
That's basically all I'm asking for. We've got 43 acres in one park. We've got 2 acres of another park. We've got another big park. I don't know how big it is. I want the 2 acre park.
Mm-hmm.
With fencing around it, and to fence the whole thing in and divide it into three lots, which would take about 1,400 feet of fencing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm already raising money. I've got local nonprofits that are going to help pay for it, but none of them will say how much they're willing to help until the borough approves it. The only expense involved is installation and maintenance of fence. So. I don't understand.
And I don't mean this in a bad way, but those town, or I don't know if your borough town, you know, highway guys, they could probably get that done pretty quickly.
Well, and it's an existing park.
Yeah.
That they already maintain.
Yeah.
So now instead of just mowing 2 acres, they're going to have to get out and weed eat a little bit. Like,
that's,
Yeah. Anyway, show's almost over. You got a couple of minutes. One more time, Dr. Jen Vandewater, the People's Pharmacist, tell the world how you can help them and how they can help you.
Sure. Well, I'm the People's Pharmacist because I answer to the people and not to Big Pharma. I can be found at thepeoplespharmacist.com. I have a private health ministry. So if you want to become a member and have a consult with me, I'm happy to do that. Mind, body, spirit alignment, that's so important to your overall well-being. I can be found on Twitter at Dr. J. Vandewater, Instagram at Dr. Jen, the People's Pharmacist, and Telegram is at Dr. Vandewater.
Fantastic. And I didn't open up. I was going to try to give away a book, but I'm not prepared. I can't ask you to pick a number when I don't know how high the numbers have to go because people have signed up and I don't have the thing open because, like I said, I'm not prepared. I'm terrible.
It's the wine.
Is that what it is?
I don't know.
I think it's just I'm unprepared. I wasn't planning on it. I wasn't planning on doing the give a book away, but I'm like, hey, we're done talking and I still have a minute. Maybe we can give a book away. Give me just a second. Pick a number between 1 and 50.
Oh, let's go midway, 25.
Diane McCabe of Little Falls, New York. Diane McCabe of Little Falls, New York. You can get a package from me. Thank you very much. Congratulations. Thanks, Clarkness, for joining us. Thanks, Mike, my producer. Thank you, listeners and callers. Till next week, protect your liberties. Once they're gone, there's no getting them back. God bless America.
Knowledge and protect what truly matters, our Constitution. Visit liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom today. Don't miss this incredible opportunity. Use code RBN for 20% off. Together, we'll be the beacon of freedom our founding generation envisioned. Liberty Lighthouse Classroom, illuminating minds, empowering patriots.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these 5 easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get the information. Steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Black Owl Coffee, and I started Black Owl because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee that's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.